This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now. On Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on a Hoodwink Tuesday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We got JR, we got Jake Cantu, and we got you for a three-hour ride into Mike Greenberg. Well, good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going every morning on Twitch where you can watch the show. And the news came out yesterday, Cap, at 4 o'clock, the press conference over at Guaranteed Rate, that Tony La Russa is stepping down as White Sox manager because of health concerns that kept him out of the dugout for the final 5 weeks of the season. And so Tony got a chance to speak, and Rick Hahn got a chance to speak. It was just unusual. I mean, obviously, with Tony having to talk about his issues, but then Rick Hahn had his thoughts about the White Sox as well. And when it, even though the season's not over, kind of a season-ending review from the general manager. So a lot of news coming out of 35th and Vec yesterday.
So there's going to be an exhaustive managerial search. Does not have to have ties to the White Sox organization. That's refreshing. Get different perspectives. If there's someone in the organization that makes sense, great, hire him. But have an exhaustive list. I put a list together of names I'm either hearing from people in the game or names that I like. And you have a list as well. Mm-hmm. Liam Hendricks said they want an we need an authoritarian in the dugout. Mm-hmm. That's old school. Does that mean every player is on board with an authoritarian-style manager? Because that's old school. That's not the way it is in most dugouts today.
Well, that's just one opinion from Liam Hendricks, and I know that he's very outspoken about the team. But
he's also one of your team leaders.
That's fine. But that's just one opinion. I mean, you have four or five team leaders on that ball club, and so it's nice for him to say what he said. But before we turn the page on who's next, and we'll get to it here this hour, Cap, I just want to just reflect on Tony La Russa's time with the White Sox. La Russa 1.0 and La Russa 2.0. Mm-hmm. So the first manager I recognized as a kid was Tony La Russa. And it was time for something fresh at the time because, you know, looking at the White Sox as a kid, they had a successful team in 77 with Bob Lemon as the manager. But then there was a change. And Don Kessinger got a chance to manage. Larry Doby got a chance to manage the ball club. And La Russa coming in was different and fresh. And so he's there, and he's got a 73-87 ball club. In 1980, a 70-win ball club. They went backwards. 81. 81 was a strike year, right? So that was 54-52. And then, you know, 82, they win 87 games. He said, boy, things are starting to work out well because here comes Lamar Hoyt, Cap, in 82. In 83, they win the American League Western Division Championship. That's the first championship that I remember as a kid, baseball-wise, because it was 83 Sox, 84 Cubs. But I remember Tony was part of that team. But then for him to go from St. Louis to the A's and back to the White Sox again, it was just cool to see how many wins he had and what he did for the game. He was a kid when he was here the first time, lampooned by the broadcasters, Harry Carey, Jimmy Pearsall. There he is, Harry. He's a lawyer. Larry, he's got a case to make. Look at him. He's a kid. They're going to make fun of him, right?
Remember they drove down to accost Pearsall at the TV studio on Channel 44 back then?
Mm-hmm.
And he had said something about the wives of the players.
Oh, my God.
And La Russa and Jim Leland drove down, they were going to accost him.
Yeah. Yeah, because Jimmy's out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
Off his meds at that time.
Correct.
But I remember La Russa making a difference for the White Sox. And, Cap, it just didn't work out this time. I understand what Jerry Reinsdorf is trying to do. He brought his friend in, saying, you know what? This team just needs a little bit more seasoning. I know you can bring a lot to the table more than Rick Renteria. You know, tighten the screws. Make sure this ball club is fundamentally sound. They're doing the right things. And, Cap, I got an old man. I got someone that's not even close to being the La Russa that we saw with the Cardinals and A's.
Correct. He, good guy, brilliant baseball man. It's sad that this is how his second tenure with the White Sox will end. And the young people will only remember this version of Tony, not the fiery, boy, here come the Cardinals to town, and I know they're going to do everything the right way. Mm-hmm. Pujols talked again about how much he loved playing for that guy. He said, that guy held you accountable, but man, oh man, was he a great manager to play for. That guy isn't here anymore. That guy's got health issues. He said a second issue has popped up. I don't know. It's not for me to say what that issue is. I've heard different things, yep. But either way, he's done as a major league manager, and it's just sad this is how it ended.
It is, and I think that he realizes that he did not get the job done. But ultimately, Cap, it's not just about La Russa. Listen, La Russa made his share of mistakes. We saw it. Mm-hmm. At times, I thought, is the game passed him by? Because of the simple mistakes that he would make. It's not just the wacky things that he would do by, you know, walking a batter, you know, with a 3-0 count. Or one and two count
on Trey Turner. And then he did it again. The second time it worked. The first time it didn't.
Just weird.
What's his name? Max Muncy hit a 3-run homer.
Yeah, just like that. Not that stuff. But just I kind of thought that the game kind of passed him by. And so I'll always remember how good he was to the White Sox. But this time around did not work. Some thoughts from Tony La Russa talking about a number of things, including the fans. And one thing for sure, Cap. White Sox fans, we are a rowdy bunch. We also want our team to win, and we're going to hold you accountable. One thing at 35th and Vec, they hear from the fans, for sure. This isn't, oh, we'll wait until next year. No. You get that White Sox convention cranking, they're loud, vociferous, demanding, and rightfully so.
Correct. And unlike the team on the north side where they have this shrine that they built and people come from out of town or local, hey, man, let's go sit in the bleachers at Wrigley, drink beer, look at the pretty girls, and, oh, did the Cubs win? Mm-hmm. And the diehard fans, you know, my buddy Danny Rocket or Mike Cerami or Brett, all those guys that are there every day, they know baseball and they love baseball and they want their Cubs to win. But at guaranteed rate, if you don't win because it's not the shrine that Wrigley is, if you don't win and you aren't doing things to try to win, they don't go.
No. And they will be very disappointed and very angry about it. And rightfully so, because you, in a big market, you're supposed to win. You're supposed to be at least a perennial playoff team, which I wanted in this La Russa era. Some thoughts from Tony.
The difference is, like with almost every manager in history, you get the job because the club is struggling. That was true in 79 and 96 and 86, with the, you know, the difference was I walked into a club that's ready to win, which is, you know, really a break. I mean, everybody wanted to do that, and we won enough, you know, to celebrate one time. So that was a difference. Everything else about it, you know, building the team together and playing hard, playing the game right. You know, it's the difference was here that this club was then and is now ready to win.
Yeah, and in his career, Cap, with the A's and the Cardinals, when he first took those jobs, they were not ready to win.
No.
The White Sox first time around, as I mentioned, they had that Lemon and Kessinger as managers. That team wasn't ready to win. It's the first time in his career where it's like, this is a young team that you have to mold and shape. They're ready. We've already been in the playoffs once under Renteria. Now take them to the next level.
Yeah, here's the keys. That's a Maserati right there. Just don't wreck it.
And then what happened?
He got wrecked.
Yeah, that's it. First time in his career, it's like, I have a ready-made team for you. They just need some seasoning, a little polish.
Correct.
And it just did not work out. It's not just him, though, Cap. I know that when we talk about the Bears, it's the blame pie, right? Fields, it's the general manager, it's Luke Getsy.
It's Nagy's fault.
It's still Nagy's fault. Right. Yes, right. But with the White Sox, and you know that same pie, bring your pie out. La Russa's fault, Rick's fault, Rick Hahn's fault, Kenny Williams' fault, Jerry Reinsdorf. Cap, it's all of it, including the players. They underachieved grossly because they did not get the job done, front office and on the field.
Correct. They grossly underachieved, grossly. Mm-hmm. There were injury concerns that happened. That's part of a season. Tony was not his sharpest. All of it has to be part of that pie, and then you have to go shop for some new ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little too much salt in what we cooked right there.
Right,
let's remake this. Don't put so much salt in there. Let's add a little of this. A pinch of parsley and a little thyme and a little this. Tastes a lot better.
You're so right about the salt.
Do you have the Liam Hendricks cut there? Where he talks about we need an authoritarian in the dugout to hold everybody accountable. Now, he is an old school guy himself. Liam Hendricks, he's the guy who thrives under being challenged. He does not have a problem with someone speaking to him in an old school fashion. Other guys do. It's a different player today.
Okay, so one of the things that Hendricks talked about yesterday was, can managers fix teams? Listen.
Unless we fix what we have as a play group, kind of what we went through this year, doesn't matter who comes in, it won't fix itself. That needs to be some soul searching. There needs to be a lot of going through and what we struggled at, what we succeeded at, what we can work on better, what we need to kind of take away from what we did. There's a lot of things that we did this year that weren't very good. And there's a lot of things this year that we really need to kind of improve on. But the only way to look in on that is to kind of look in on yourself and realize what you struggle with. For me, it was inherited runners. It was health as forefront at the very end of that, but it was I struggled with inherited runners. I struggled in tie games. I struggled against the our division. That was some things that I really need to work on. There's a lot of positives I can take from this year, but I always like to think on sit on the negatives and be like, okay, what can I do to get past those? And that was something that those few things, I mean, the walks this year, I'll obviously doubled my walk total from last year to this year, which isn't great. But there's a lot of things that we can work on as an individual, but unless you work on them individually, you're not going to get that cohesive kind of moment back as a team when we get to spring training next year.
Thoughts there from closer Liam Hendricks talking about can managers fix teams. We'll hear more from Liam as we move forward throughout the show. But we want to hear from you, White Sox fans. And, Jake, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We want to find out from you, what did you think of the time for Tony La Russa with the White Sox? His time with the White Sox, what came out most? And then what do you want next for the White Sox in the managerial spot? We have our list. Do you have your list?
I have mine right here, ready to go, but we'd love to hear what people want out there.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Who do you want?
So still to come, we'll hear from Rick Hahn, also the general manager for the White Sox, his thoughts about not just what's going on with Tony La Russa, but moving forward through the offseason. We'll hear from Rick Hahn as well and get your thoughts. What did you think of the time that Tony was here as Sox manager, and what's the future look like for the White Sox now? Let's get your thoughts on that coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in with us here on this Tuesday morning. The lead story is Tony La Russa has stepped down as manager for the Chicago White Sox, and there's, once again, going to be a search for a brand-new manager for this ball club. But the way I look at it as a Sox fan, Cap, it's not necessarily about Tony. It's about how this ball club can be a perennial winning team. My prediction coming in was this team would take another step. You had them winning the World Series. A number of them did, because you looked at that roster composition, looked at the pitching, and said, this should be good enough. But this is on Rick Hahn And he's got some really major swings he's got to take here in the offseason. If he guard passes it and just stays with the core, we just got to get healthy, like he did at the second half of this season, that's not going to be good enough.
But don't forget, he has two other guys he has to collaborate with. His word, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
He may not have wanted to stand pat at the trade deadline. He's got a boss who owns the team and another boss who has made it clear to anyone that will listen, he's still around. So this is not a Rick Hahn hire. He may be leading the process. Jonathan, Rick Hahn, I'd like to meet with you about our job.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to go back to two other guys and go, okay, here's what I want to do. And if they don't agree, like the last time, it's Jerry's team, man. You can criticize him all you want. He owns the team. And with that comes the right to hire who you want.
Thoughts here about Rick Hahn. No complacency in the front office after this past season.
We spent a lot of time having those conversations, including in the part of what Jerry, Kenny, and I discussed a few hours ago about where we potentially made missteps and where can we be better. I don't think it's something that we're going to get too deep into discussing publicly in terms of internal operations about how we can improve, but know that there is no complacency involved, that we know, like Tony put it on himself, and as I mentioned, the players put it on themselves, we put it equally, if not more so, on ourselves. Like, there is no one associated with this organization, at least on the baseball side, and including the guys in uniform, scouts, player development, who doesn't find this past year unacceptable and extraordinarily frustrating and disappointing. A lot of hours, time, effort, support from fans, dollars were poured into trying to create a successful expanded window for this team to contend. And even though things looked like we were going to continue that 6 months ago, it didn't happen. And the squandering of this year is something that I know I individually am going to carry with me for a while. And I think anyone else from our group in the baseball side or in uniform would echo those sentiments for themselves.
Cool. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I love the long-form speeches from Rick Hahn. Because you know what? What he says is true. What are you going to do about it? I told you at the All-Star break, right after the All-Star break, close to the deadline, I said, I don't want his back against the wall in the dugout saying, we tried. We did everything that we could. We were on the phone night and day. I was there by candlelight trying to figure out how we can improve the ball club, but it just did not work. We tried. I don't give a damn about try. I want to see results. That's what it's about.
Agree. But again,
Don't do that.
Hold on a second. Let's just use the comparison of the closest baseball team to the White Sox. They're
Cubs?
8 miles north.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
When they make a decision, it's not, well, I got to run it by Carter Hawkins, and then I'm going to talk to Tom, and then Tom's going to talk to his family, and then we're going to talk. No. Jed is given a satchel of money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just pull a random number. I don't know the number. Let's say it's $300 million.
Okay.
He's got to pay all his minor leaguers. Mm-hmm. He's got to have his draft. He's got to have his major league payroll, which is normal years around $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to pay all his employees. There's your money, whatever that number is. And if Jed wants to go spend whatever it is to get Carlos Correa, he doesn't have to go to Tom and go, hey, I'm going to hire David Ross as the manager. He clues him in out of courtesy because it's his boss.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom has made it clear, I don't get involved.
I understand.
If you want to hire Jonathan Hood to play shortstop, might not be as nimble as we need, but hey, man, you do you because I'm going to evaluate you.
Right.
And in 5 years, if this team stinks, it's your ass, not mine.
I get it.
It's different on the South Side. Jerry hired his manager, his right. Kenny has made it clear. I stood there and heard him say it. Hey, man, I'm still around. I'm not out to pasture here. So if Rick has to go to him and go, I'm not re-signing Abreu, I'm going to move Vaughn to first, and I'm trading Sheets for Shea Norling. no, I don't want you to do that, then he can't do it.
I guess my point is that for the average 9-to-5er that just wants to go to the game and just wants to see their team win, partial season tickets, full-time season ticket, whatever it is, or just watching at home, they just want to know if their team's going to win or lose. They don't care. Like, you and I care about the infrastructure and how things work. If anyone's been watching any of the Jerry Reinsdorf's teams, Bulls or Sox, that's how it works. There's someone above the general manager, and then there's Jerry. I totally understand that, Cap, but what it comes down to is the results. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you have 10 people in the room. You got to figure it out.
Correct, but there has to be one person tasked with making the decision.
Well, it doesn't work like that under Jerry Reinsdorf. You know that.
Correct, but this time, look, Rick did not want to hire Tony. That's not a state secret.
Right.
I mean, he's never going to come out. I've heard people say, how come Rick wasn't honest yesterday about the Tony hire? Not going to do that.
Didn't have to be.
It's obvious that wasn't his hire. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was being held hostage at the press conference when they announced Tony was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out. This time, if Rick says, I'll pull one name off my list. I want to hire Bruce Bochy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rick. You're the GM. Have at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't sit down with your boss, Jerry. What do you think of this hire? Here's what I like about it. Here's what I'm concerned about. His age, his health, whatever the case may be.
Sure.
Kenny, what do you think? Well, if it was me, I'd go this direction. But, hey, man, it's your hire. I've had my bite at the apple, and I won a World Series. You hire who you want.
That's the way it should be.
Correct.
Let a general manager generally manage the team.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
But the average fan just wants to see, Cap, are we winning or not? But whoever the manager is, mm-hmm. it's the issues on the field. Get some of those DHs off the roster and find a real right fielder. Find a real second baseman.
That might mean you say goodbye to Jose Abreu.
Whatever it takes. The hard decisions have to be made over at 35th and Vec.
No question.
It's not about who you like. Doesn't matter whose jersey that you have. What it comes down to is, are you winning and improving the ball club? So a lot of guys that's around there playing cavalier baseball. Just like, oh, just throw my glove on the field and it'll be just fine. I'm tired of those guys.
Agreed.
I want guys that's trying to win. Jose, Yoan Moncada. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Here on Cap and Jay Hood, as we talk to you about the White Sox, with Tony out, where do the Sox look moving forward? What happens now with the team? In Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, here's Jeff on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jeff.
It's Justin Hoodie. What's going on? How you doing, Cap?
Good.
What's
Justin,
up, man?
That's a fine, by the way, Cantu. Come on in with your dollar. That's a fine.
That's a fine. His name's not Jeff. It's Justin.
Justin from Dallas.
It's all good. I'll pay it. So I don't even know where to begin. You know, in no way, shape, or form am I disrespecting Tony as far as his health goes. I know that's a serious issue. But that aside, just talking on a baseball perspective, I feel like he's one of the worst managers we've ever had. And his whole spiel about, oh, it's all on me, I think that's BS. It's easy for him to say that now when the season is over, but when you can't tell him nothing when the season was going on, when he was making them dumb decisions, and then when the media tried to question him on it, he had an issue with that. So I'm glad that he's gone. As far as I'm concerned, you should have had Jerry Reinsdorf up there too. For him to get to, just like Tony gave his farewell, Jerry should have gave his farewell because he hired him.
But Justin, that's unrealistic. He owns the team.
I know it's unrealistic.
I'm not saying it was a good decision or a good process, but he's not going to say his farewell. He's not walking away. Where's he going?
Cap, I know it's unrealistic, but I'm talking out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
I put money into the team just like every other fan. I bought tickets. I bought hats, I bought damn jerseys, all of that. They owe us more than that. I'm sorry. It was an embarrassment. And for La Russa to just skate off, like it was easy for him to leave now because of his health reasons. Why you couldn't leave early in the season when the season probably could have been saved?
Well, can I just tell you something?
I love your passion, man. I love it.
That's great, but whether Tony's in the dugout or not, that dog wouldn't hunt. You go from a 93-win ball club to an 80-win ball club is unacceptable. You want to find out why the White Sox did it? It's more than Tony. Look at the players. Look at the injuries. Yep. Look at the lack of movement at the trade deadline to try to bolster the lineup. Mm-hmm. That's all on Rick. That's all on the players. It's not all on Tony. And look, whether Tony is sick or Tony is not available to manage anymore or not, ultimately that team would not do the things that Tony wanted. It wouldn't. And they were not available. It's hard to put a team together that's never available. Grandal's hurt. Moncada's hurt. Anderson's out. Abreu missing time.
Jimenez.
What are you going to do, Cap?
You're right. But I love his passion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely. But you know what, Justin? If La Russa left at the All-Star break, the Sox in the playoffs? We'll never know.
Correct.
And probably not. That's the way that they played.
No, because the roster construction wasn't good enough.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up. We're asking you about the White Sox and getting your thoughts on Tony La Russa stepping down. What's next for the White Sox? What do you want to see in the 2023 season?
Cap, I want to hear your list.
Oh, I have my list here.
I want to hear it.
We have our lists are going to be interesting.
I have mine. You have yours.
We'll take a look at the next managers for the White Sox and take more of your phone calls on that story on 35th and Vec. Cap and Jay Hood, keep it locked on ESPN 1000.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
The Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Hope that you're going to have a great Tuesday with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find the Odds Couple with Mike North. Hey, there's my guy, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco on the Odds Couple. You need to get your gambling fix for the weekends. Check out the Odds Couple available on the ESPN Chicago app.
By the way.
That's a fine.
That is a fine.
I
owe a dollar.
Yes.
You haven't put your dollar in either for forgetting to turn yours on.
All three of you. Let's go. Let's go. Everybody in this room owes a dollar.
I don't know if I have any money.
I have any cash.
We're doing this whole envelope thing at home now. You know, you put a dollar in. You label 100 envelopes,
mm-hmm.
and you put a dollar in. Day two, you put in two.
There you go.
Day three, you put in three.
So I need Venmo or Zelle, man. I don't carry cash.
You know what? If you're going to be on this show, you got to carry cash.
Bro. That's it.
Bernie'sBookBank.org. That's where you go. Bernie'sBookBank.org. You can Venmo it there.
Had lunch with Darren yesterday.
It's a good man.
Yep. Him and the guys from Father and Son Barbershop right near Loyola. Had a good time. But there's more money for Bernie's Book Bank right there. But anyway, I was going to say, happy anniversary, long-term anniversary to the North family, BB and Mike.
What are you doing hanging out with barbers?
They're my friends, JR.
He's just there hanging out like LeBron's place.
I mean, you're not getting a discount, Cap.
He's not actually there for a haircut. He's just hanging out there with wine, like LeBron's show. So here's the question, Cap. I think I have a list of three candidates for the Chicago White Sox. Two of them I really want to be the White Sox manager. One is not.
Mm-hmm.
And there is where we play Hoodwinked. Right here on ESPN 1000. So Hoodwinked is an opportunity for you to win a delicious Lou Malnati's. Hopefully pie, right?
That's where I had lunch yesterday in Lincolnwood, the Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's. All right, JR.
I had a salad.
All right, Cap and J-Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled, led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and flat out deceived.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
Every Tuesday, we hook you up with an opportunity to win Lou Malnati's, a fantastic gift card. Cap knows the people of Lou Malnati's very well.
With her last night.
You didn't sleep with Lou, but you slept with someone who's knows Lou very intimately.
Well, I don't know if she knows Lou intimately. She works for the company.
Cap, you have
my
a list.
My wife.
You have a list. I have a list of candidates for the White Sox.
Correct.
I have two that I really want to be the White Sox manager and one on here I don't want. Okay? I want to hear your list first before we take our call.
Okay.
All right. What do you have there for you? I think our lists actually are very similar, but go ahead.
I have a extensive list of guys I would talk
extensive.
To.
Extensive?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably 10 names that I would meet with.
All right.
I would get the plane fueled up. Get me two pilots. One could sleep while the other flies. We're hitting a bunch of cities.
I'm sure Kenny will be driving that, flying that plane.
I ain't getting up. he's not a pilot. Will Venable.
Uh-huh. Now, what's his background?
So Will Venable was a longtime major league player.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great player, just a journeyman player. He got into coaching, working for Theo and Jed with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Will Venable now is the bench coach of the Red Sox and is highly regarded around the game as a tremendous communicator, mm-hmm. but a very disciplined individual.
All right.
So Will Venable would definitely get an interview from me.
What else is on your list?
Willie Harris. He's the third base coach of the Cubs. He has ties to the White Sox. He has checked every box in the minors. He's been a coach in the majors. And he has a tie to the White Sox as well. He also is considered to be an excellent communicator.
You like him at third base? Your third base coach?
Yeah, I do.
Waving Willie?
I do. That was Waving Wendell. May he rest in peace.
Okay.
Wendell Kim.
Sure.
No, I do like Willie Harris.
Okay.
Bruce Bochy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard from someone who I think would know that his health might not be up to par to manage the grind of 162. Again, he's 67. If he's healthy, Bruce Bochy rockets up right near the top of my list.
Sure.
I'd have to know if he's healthy. I can't go through this again.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Girardi, he's 58, I believe. He does not like how it ended in Philly. He is more of a disciplinarian, which is what Liam Hendricks says they need. I know the man, love the guy. I think he'd be excellent. I'm not sure that's the path the White Sox are going down, though. Sandy Alomar Jr., mm-hmm. he's coaching with the Cleveland Guardians. He was the bench coach, now he's the first base coach. My concern with Sandy is, does he not interview well? Because this dude's name has been out a billion times and he never gets one.
Mm-hmm.
That would concern me. He also has a tie to the organization. AJ Pierzynski. He's never coached. He's never managed. That hasn't stopped David Ross or Aaron Boone from doing a really good job. So is AJ a guy I think gets it? He's not, but I would definitely talk to him. Carlos Beltran, who got the Mets job, then the sign stealing broke, mm-hmm. and they yanked the job away from before he ever managed a game. I would definitely talk to him. Don Mattingly, Mike Socia, and Ozzie Guillen. Those are the guys I would talk to.
We'll hear from Ozzie Guillen coming up in our next segment, his thoughts on whether or not he'd want to come back to manage the White Sox. So I have a list of three names. I actually have a long list, but I'm going to narrow it down to three names. And we go to Joe in Elmhurst, who's going to play Hoodwinked with us here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Joe.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
What's up?
Can I hook you up with a Lou Malnati's gift card?
It would be awesome.
Okay.
Sure.
I have a list of three names. Two I do want to be the manager of the White Sox. One, not so much. Here's the three. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Bruce Bochy is one. Don Mattingly is another. AJ Pierzynski is the third. Which one don't I really want as a manager of the Sox?
AJ.
Cap, you heard my list of three.
I'm inclined to lean toward the caller. Again, it's his pick. It's his gift card on the line. But I'm inclined to co-sign with him. You have a longer list.
Yes.
I know it because I've seen you writing over there.
Mm-hmm.
Read your three again.
What did I say, Joe? Did I say Bochy?
Bochy, yep. Don Mattingly. And AJ. Yep, and AJ.
Okay.
I personally, and I asked him point blank in our meeting, and he wouldn't tell me. I'll tell you on the air. I believe he does not want AJ Pierzynski.
Let me ask you, Joe, why wouldn't I want AJ?
Just because of lack of experience, that's all. That would be my guess.
Joe, you are correct. Absolutely.
Nice job. There you go, Joe.
Joe, which station just hooked you up with a Lou Malnati's gift card?
ESPN 1000.
Right. You're the man. Enjoy your pizza. Get the cookie pizza for dessert.
Nope. Hang on a second. Whatever Joe wants, he can have. I would suggest a salad.
I'm just recommending.
No, you know, just let him look at it. He's got a menu.
I had a delicious salad there yesterday.
Okay. Just let Joe choose. Joe's hooked up now with a Lou Malnati's gift card. AJ Pierzynski is right. that I would not want him as the manager of this ball club. You know why? Because I saw Robin Ventura manage this ball club. And not saying that this is the same team, Cap. What I'm saying is that you hire the hero, you got to eventually fire the hero. I don't want someone learning on the job as a manager for the team. I know that AJ wants the job. Here's how I know. We had him on. Remember this?
And he said, if Jerry is interested, I would absolutely want that job. Okay, but let me ask you a question. Aaron Boone's done a whale of a job in the toughest media market in the country with the Yankees. He's done a really good job and had to replace a World Series winning manager in Joe Girardi, who had been there a long, long time. When you keep the Yankee job for a decade, you're pretty damn good.
Yeah, stability. The old man would have got him out of there years ago.
Girardi.
Yes.
Aaron Boone?
Aaron Boone.
Yeah, what I'm saying is Girardi had that job for a decade and won a World Series.
Cap, I don't know if A.J. Pierzynski is the guy that I want to manage my team. Not right now. I just would prefer, he would not be on my list.
So Mattingly or Bochy?
That's on my list. I think you talk to Mattingly. You talk to him. Bochy would be on the top of my list if he's available. I love that experience. I mean, the guy's great as a manager. He just
won three World Series.
I'll take him, right? I have Sandy Alomar on my list. I have Freddie Gonzalez on my list. I have Terry Pendleton on my list as well. And the Ozzie Guillen question is going to be interesting, Cap, because you got a chance to talk to Ozzie on Unfiltered. We will hear from Ozzie Guillen. Does he want to come back as manager of the White Sox? We'll talk about that and take your phone calls. There's a difference happening in 2023 with this team, roster-wise and manager-wise. What do you think of the state of the White Sox now that TLR has stepped down? Keep it locked to ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
We've got Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. Also, we'll talk to our guy, Jesse Rogers. We'll get his thoughts about the Chicago White Sox and whoever the new manager is going to be. We'll hear from him coming up in our next hour here on ESPN 1000. Glad to have you in today. How about NBC Sports Chicago? My guy, David Kaplan, he gets all the great guests, especially the ones that work for the channel.
Yeah. Hey, Ozzie, can you walk down the hall with Chuck?
Me?
Garfine?
Me? Yes. Yes, you, sir.
I need you two on the show.
And by the way, a great booking because Ozzie Guillen is a name. I know you see it on your social media. I see it on mine. Like the big what if. The two biggest words in entertainment. What if? What if? What if Ozzie Guillen returns as manager? Here's his answer to Cap regarding coming back to manage the White Sox.
To me, it's hard to say no because the respect I have for the game, the love I have for the White Sox and Chicago people. But it's not going to be easy. Well, I'm not going to say, hey, I'm here waiting for the phone call. I don't. If they ask me, I will talk to them about it. I will be very honest with them the way it's going to be. But I don't know. It's just so many things I see off the field, I see on the game. They had to be fit. And the soon they enter me, I'm going to say that, they're going to go, next. They don't want to deal with that. That's my opinion. And it's just because you have to be honest. And nobody, one thing I said yesterday, I don't want to be cocky. I don't want to be me, me, yo, you, me, me, me. I said nobody, anybody in the planet, ever managed baseball, know this ball club more than me. No one. I don't care if they can bring Connie Mack back. Joe Torres, they just left. Tony La Russa left. I know this ball club very well.
Who's that, Cap?
Joe Torres.
Who's Joe Torres? He go to school with Joe Torres?
Yeah.
Remember him? Great family. Handy dandy shortstop.
Yes.
Cap, he would love to manage the White Sox, but you know, I hear him often on the in those post games are just must watch because you don't know what Ozzie's going to say.
Chuck and Frank are amazing television.
I think that he likes being a granddad. I think he likes the TV.
And he does. He comes in. Like the other day, I walk in, and there's a spread of pulled pork and rice and beans and cornbread. Like all of them. I'm like, what is all this? Ozzie bought the entire station dinner. He's just that guy. People who don't know him have no idea how beloved he is in our newsroom. You can ask anyone in there, from the lowliest production assistant to the top of the food chain to Kevin Cross. They love that man.
Do you think he'll want to manage again? Do you think he wants the job deep down?
Deep down, I think he would like another bite at the apple because he doesn't like how it went down. Mm-hmm. I personally believe his wife would like him to be home. Play golf, go do your TV, and be around. We don't need the money. He's not a billionaire, but he made a lot of money. He's good.
There was a disconnect between Kenny Williams and Ozzie Guillen when Ozzie was the manager. And just like any championship seemingly in this town, Cubs, the Blackhawks, you're trying to figure out, well, who gets all the credit? Who gets all the credit? To me, when you win a championship, everyone deserves the credit, but there's always egos involved. It happened with the breakup of the Hawks with Quenneville. It happened with the Cubs. Like, oh, is it Theo? Is it Jed? Is it the team? What happened? Like, there's always jealousy or questions. And the same thing with the White Sox. I always felt, hey, they were able to win a World Series championship. But there was a disconnect. A divorce was happening between Kenny and Ozzie. So even though Kenny is still around, but not necessarily the general manager, I wonder how that relationship would manifest itself the second time around. Because
yeah,
those two were oil and water at one point.
They were. But they're in a much better place now. They interact. I'm not telling you that they're going on vacation together. I don't think that's where the White Sox thoughts are. Because I would hire him doesn't mean they're going to hire him. I don't think that's the road they're going.
I don't think that he would manage the team. I think that would he be someone that could tip the scales in the right direction for the White Sox as a manager? Sure. One more time managing this White Sox team? Absolutely. But I don't think he'd want the job. I don't think he's going to take the job.
If the phone rang today and it was Jerry, Ozzie, I need you to come to dinner with me, Kenny, and Rick. We want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we want you to do this, but here are certain things we need done that cannot happen. I think he takes the job. Mm. I don't think that dinner's going to take place in that way.
I don't think so either. I think Ozzie likes to do things his way. And I think that I don't want to lose him on TV either because he's a must-watch.
I can tell you, our people in the newsroom,
yeah,
John Shipman to Cross to Garfite, it's a good thing for us that we have Ozzie. He's awesome, man.
And Sean Burke, here's Alex on ESPN 1000 and Cap and Jay Hood as we talk about the White Sox. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys. Listen, you might want to put your headset a little off the ear because I might go off here in a second.
Probably will.
So my phone call about the White Sox is actually a phone call that includes all the flipping teams here in Chicago. Is there something the commissioners of all these different leagues can do to say, Chicago, get your stuff together? Chicago, New York, and L.A. should be the biggest markets in every sport. We are Chicago, Cubs, Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears, White Sox. What the heck is going on? These owners suck. Bad decisions. Don't know how to spend money, cheap. Don't know how to hire somebody. The Bears should be embarrassed. George Halas should be just rolling over his dang-dumb grave. I'm about to have a conniption fit while I'm driving. What the heck is going on?
So you think Ozzie should be the manager or no? Appreciate the phone call. 312-332-3776.
I love his passion.
Mm-hmm.
I understand his frustration because it's the meltdown I had, a month ago?
Yes, every day.
It's freaking Chicago, man. Mm-hmm. And we act like we're in the middle of Kansas City. I mean, really? Why can't we be at the top shelf shopping all the time and holding people to a standard and then going, like, for example, I said, boy, if Aaron Judge hits the market, we should be not outbid for him if I'm Tom Ricketts.
Sure.
And somebody who I know, who's around the team often, he's not going to pick us. Why
wouldn't he?
And that was my response. Hold on a second. If he doesn't go back to the Yankees, and I'm sure he will, but he's going to free agency. If the Yankees say we're out, it's too much, we're not doing it, or we're going another direction, you shouldn't be outbid. He may not pick you, but there's no way anyone should outbid you. He's a great freaking player. It's Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a freaking great market. Act like it. I agree with that guy.
Jim in Crystal Lake on ESPN 1000. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. So I'm a frequent caller.
Yes.
Cap, you know my brother. You played baseball with him a little bit. But I got a couple older brothers that we always argue about this. So baseball, putting fans in the seats. So my older brothers say to me all the time that it doesn't matter if you have if they have fans in the seats at the games. All the teams make all the money at you know with advertising and TV rights and stuff like that. And I refuse to believe that it doesn't matter if they have 30,000.
Your brothers fans. Your brother Rich. Mm-hmm. They're wrong. And we thank you for the call because we got to get to shot or no shot. Mm-hmm. Those seats bring in a ton of money. I understand that the TV money is substantial. The Cubs get over 3 million people in that building. That's a ton of money. A ton. Not including the amount of money they spend at Gallagher Way, at the Cubs gift shop, at the souvenir stands, the food, all of it. Yes, they want fans there. They have vested interest in getting fans there.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.